Today we're going to talk about a group of people of which we probably belong or have belonged to at one point. They're people who are hurting. People who are helpless and hopeless. People who are confused. People who are spiritually dying. People who need Jesus. And listen, life can be busy, can it? Anybody? Right? That your life is busy, you can agree with that? If I'm honest, sometimes I can be too busy to see the people who are hurting and helpless and confused. That life can be so busy that we have such a big to-do list, things we need to do, things we have to get done, and there can be people right in front of us who are hurting. And I can just be oblivious to that. I think if we're honest, we could all admit that we can be that way at times. Would you admit that today? That there's times where you can just be too busy. That there's people in front of you who are hurting and confused and hopeless. And even spiritually dying, meaning they don't have God in their life and they're going through life being beaten and broken and abused. And the Bible says, apart with Jesus, when you get to your life and die, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have any way to heaven. That your spiritual death is going to lead you, unfortunately, to eternal death, which is hell forever apart from Jesus. And I think if we take another step back into the recesses of our minds, we could all imagine a time or remember a time clearly where we were the hurting person. Where there was a time where we were the confused. Where we were hurting, let's just say where I was hurting, and nobody noticed my pain. Everybody was too busy, and the people who I was around just didn't really care because they were more concerned about them and what they were going to do, or pop culture, or the news, than they were about me. Have you been in that situation before? Right? Anybody? You could say, you know what? There was a time in my life where I was just hurting. That maybe you would go to a family reunion, or you would get together for Christmas, or Thanksgiving's coming up. And maybe you would get together with people for Thanksgiving, and deep inside of you, you really weren't even there. You were at the table, you were eating turkey and stuffing, but you kind of weren't there. You were detached. There was something in you that was hurting. And perhaps it angered you a little bit because people around you were oblivious to it. And it seemed like they didn't even care. Well, today we're going to turn into our Bibles and we're going to look at Jesus in light of those circumstances of being hurting. We're going to be looking at Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38. We're just looking at four verses today. Page 740, if you have one of our Bibles. They're just in the seats around you. You can use your own. We use the New Living Translation here. If you have something else, fantastic. Use whatever you have. But if you have one of our Bibles, this is just happens to be the page number you're on. Would anybody need a Bible to borrow for today? You just don't have one. And we have a couple in the back, and I can get Pastor Bobby to hand you one today. Can anybody just use one? Okay, Gene, Mr. Bill up here, anybody else? Just slip up your hand for a second and we'll hand one to you. Anybody else? Okay. Here we like to get into the Bible and we like to read it together because I think the Bible is the thing that changes lives. We've been going through Matthew for a little while and we've been going through Matthew chapter 9 for a little while. We're going to pick up in context at where we are. Matthew chapter 9. Let me grab my Bible here. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, I pray that as we look in your word, you will just help us, God. That we would read it, that we would respond, Lord. I know that you wrote the Bible to help tell us about you and to help us become more like you. And I know that the Bible helps us with pain and helps us with heartache and points to Christ. So I pray that today it would do what it does, that it would do those things, and that we would respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 35, it says this: Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." You can keep your Bible open there. We'll come back and make reference to that in a moment. I saw this picture last night. This guy, Greg Olson, he is now my favorite artist. This is one picture that he painted, and another picture we'll show in a second. They're both on in your bulletin. If you check out his website, you can find him on Facebook. He has hundreds of incredible, incredible paintings that depict Jesus, and it's, I just love art. I love art that looks real to me. I'm kind of a realist. And to me, I can just look at that picture and just see Jesus reaching out to this guy who was hurting. My wife pointed out last night, I didn't even notice it myself, but this man has a backpack next to him. What's his story? He could be a runaway. He could be perhaps a soldier returning, a young man. He needs help. And how cool is it that in real life, when we need help, we can talk to Jesus and he's there. Okay. Your blank on your bulletin is this: he cares. He cares. Verse 35 and 36 told us that. Verse 35 and 36 said Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Listen, Jesus was a busy man. He had been busy. If you were here for the past few weeks, or if you download the messages from our website, you'll see that Jesus was busy healing people, helping people, serving people. And in the midst of being busy, verse 36 still said, when he saw the crowd, the many, 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 many people, he had, what's that word? Compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Over the course of the past few weeks, we looked earlier in Matthew 9, starting at verse 18, and we saw that Jesus was the deliverer from death. That someone came in and they died and Jesus rose them from the dead. Jesus was also the deliverer from disease. There was the lady with the issue of blood. Remember, she had a blood disease and she had it for 12 years and she couldn't get hope. And Jesus stopped what he was doing. He was even busy that day. He was on the way to raise the girl from the dead who died. And this lady stopped him because she was desperate for him, as that song that we sang today declared. She was desperate for God. And Jesus stopped what he was doing and healed her. Jesus was also the deliverer from disabilities. We read a couple of weeks ago how he healed the guys who were blind. Jesus was also the deliverer from demons. We looked at that last week, where Jesus had all authority and he showed up in someone who was possessed. Which that does happen today. It's not all the time, but it absolutely happens today. It's not horror movie stuff that you see, but it really does happen. Satan is real, demons are real, and that's why we love Jesus, and we look at Jesus. But here was a man who was possessed, who was hurting. The Bible said he couldn't even talk because the demon had control of him for a long time, and Jesus set him free. Jesus delivered him from that demon. So Jesus did all that. He spent a long time healing people, setting people free. And yet when he looked at the crowds that he hadn't touched yet, He had compassion. Do you see that? He healed a lot of people, but yet when he got done, he looked out and he saw that there were many, many, many more people that still needed healing. Many more people that still needed to be delivered. Jesus had compassion for them. Jesus cared for them. When he looked out, he saw many people who were still sick. They were dying in their sins. They were confused and helpless. That's what it says in the passage, verse 36. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That was like you and I have been before, right? There were times in my life, listen, where I was confused and helpless. Times in my life when I'm just at the end of myself. Now listen, I'm not a whiny guy. I'm not going to sit up here and cry to you and say, woe is me, I'm just a whiner. That's not true. But I don't care how tough you are, there's times when you just come to the end, right? You might not show anybody, you might not cry in front of anybody, but you're just at the end of yourself. And maybe you're just alone. And you're just sitting in the car or sitting in your truck or you're just alone at work and you're like, you know what? There's got to be something more here. There's got to be something more. And you're just hurting. And if you were just real, you would admit that. I am so glad that this is true. That Jesus cares. Even though he's busy, even though he has a lot of things that he does, he still looks down upon the earth and he still sees people who are hurting and helpless. And he cares for them. And he loves them. And for that, I'm grateful. Because, listen, we just get real at Solid Rock. I don't like religion. I don't like putting on a false front and acting like I'm something that I'm not. Because I'm not. The truth is, I'm not the best Christian in the world. The truth is, I make mistakes and I say things I shouldn't say and I do things that I shouldn't do. And the truth is, you would say that you do the same thing. But I am so glad that Jesus cares. That Jesus loves me. That I can sit down and talk to Jesus. And he forgives me. And that's a good thing. If you grew up in religion, I'm sorry. If you grew up in a religious system that didn't quite fit real life. The truth is, let's get rid of religion and let's look at Jesus and what the Bible says. And Jesus cares. In the midst of the busyness of all the big problems, he still cares about me. And maybe my problems aren't that big, and maybe I'm not that significant. But he still stops and he still cares. And he cares for me. And he cares for you. Jesus, at this point in the text, he may have been running out of energy, but he was not running low on compassion. When I run low on energy, I'm low on compassion. Anybody else? When you're tired, you kind of don't care about anything but yourself, right? I thank the Lord that Jesus isn't that way. When he walked the earth, he was sinless. And even if he's tired at the end of the day of preaching and teaching and healing and delivering, he still cared about others. We're gonna move on. Pardon me. It's another painting by the same man. Jesus again reaching out to someone who's hurting. That's what he does. Here's your last blank. We care. We care. He cares. We care. Look at verse 37 and 38 again. Jesus just got done saying that, or He just got done showing His love and His compassion for others. Verse 37, He says this. Says He said to His disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into the field." Listen, Jesus tells His disciples that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Listen, you could say it like this. Look at all those people who are hurting. It's kind of like Jesus saying that. He's sitting there with His boys, the disciples, and they're looking out over a bunch of people, and maybe His disciples are tired because they've been with Jesus the whole time. Maybe they're just kind of exhausted. They probably were. Maybe they were hungry. Ever been hungry? Anybody alive today? Of course you've been hungry. Maybe that, you know, as guys are thinking, you know, Jesus, when we get back into the city, cheesesteak. Cheesesteak, lettuce, tomato, onions. Listen, we did this the other week. I talked about chicken wings, and everybody went out and bought chicken wings after church. Or they were saying how much they needed them. I could go for a cheesesteak today. When you're tired, you're hungry. If it is cheesesteak you're thinking of, that's the only thing you got on your mind. People interrupt you, hey, nice to see you, I want a cheesesteak. Right? You know, talk to me in about 20 minutes, let me get it, digest it, and then we could talk. Anybody? Anybody, right? If you're just... That's the disciples. They're with Jesus. They're tired. They're at the end of the day. They're thinking food. Perhaps. They're tired. And Jesus calls their attention to something greater than themselves. He says, look, the people are hurting. And He's saying, if you look out at the crowd, what you see is a bunch of people who are hurting. And it's kind of like looking at a field that's ripe for harvest. Maybe it's a field of fruit, let's just say. And it's ready. Your grapes are ready to go. They're ready to for you to pick them and do what they were created for, which is to taste good, right? And to be used in jelly. Maybe there were strawberries. Jersey strawberries, right? Strawberry shortcake. You're going to be hungry before we're done. Jersey tomatoes, right? Anybody like a tomato sandwich? Yeah. I know. Now I'm really getting hungry. And just as you would look out into a field and you would see grapes that are ready to be plucked and made into the best food in the world, just like you would see a beautiful tomato from Jersey, that's red. Not that California garbage. Jersey. And it's big. And it's like one slice for the whole sandwich. Aren't they the good ones? How terrible would it be to let that rot and never pick it off the vine, right? Jesus is telling them, when you look out and see people who are hurting, it's kind of like that. You, if the fruit is ready to be picked and to be used for what God created it for, in the same way the people, their hearts were ripe. They were ready to give up their old way of life and hear Jesus and be used for what God created them for. To have a relationship with Him. It's interesting because His disciples were just thinking, cheesesteak, end of the day, we've healed a lot of people today, high five, good job, fist pound, boom, maybe they were doing all that stuff. And Jesus is like, you know, look, the people are like a field. Their hearts are ready for God to use. They're ripe. And now is the time for them to be reaped, if you will, for them to be told the message of Jesus. Because they're broken, they're hurting, they're confused, and they need a Savior. They're like a sheep without a shepherd, and now's the time to go out and share. See, Jesus wasn't thinking food, was He? Jesus was looking out at those who were hurting, and He grabbed them to say, you know what? It's not all about dinner. It's not all about whatever you were thinking. Look, it's about all the people that need Jesus. Perhaps it's a little bit like the disciples could have just been busy doing anything else and missed all the hurting people right in front of them. Like how we opened up and we've all said that we've all done that. That there can be hurting people in front of you. And in fact, all of us at some point were the hurting people that people missed. Jesus said that's not how it should be for His disciples. We should care. We care. We need to care. Because He cares, we must care for those who are hurting. It's not all about what I can get in my stomach. It's not all about what I can have in life and all the things that I can acquire. It's not all about having a cool car or a nice house. It's not all about all of those things. There are people who are hurting. And there's a sense of urgency, as we said. When you look out into a harvest and the fruit is ripe, there's a sense of urgency like, let's go get that fruit. If you don't get it now, it might not be there. And Jesus is calling us to look beyond ourselves to see that there is a real need. And there's a sense of urgency. We need to care. Because there's people hurting. And not just hurting, they're dying. They don't know Jesus. And the Bible says without Jesus, you cannot go to heaven because He is the only way to heaven. Because we have sin. The only one who can take away our sin is Jesus. And if people don't accept Jesus, there is no way to get rid of their sin. And you can't go to heaven with sin. And the alternative, the only other place you go, if you don't go to heaven, is hell. Now listen, there's a lot of whack jobs on TV who will tell you that hell's not in the Bible. Hell is completely in the Bible. Many times from Jesus Himself. But you'll hear preachers say, no, no, no. They're idiots, to be honest with you. And you need to turn them off and just read your Bible. Strong word, I know. But there's something that bothers me when people say, you just cease to exist and you can just reject Jesus and everything's going to be okay for you when you die. That bothers me because some people believe that. And they die and they wake up to the reality that Jesus is real and the Bible is real and unfortunately hell is real. And it's not the place where Kiss is in concert all the time and there's parties and beer kegs. It's not hell. Hell is fire and brimstone. Separation from God. When Jesus looks out and He sees people who are hurting, it breaks His heart. And He directed His disciples to look up and say, this should break your heart too. You must care. You must care. It's interesting when you look at the next verse and you see what Jesus tells them to do. Jesus does not say, now boys, go out and start a church. He doesn't say, people are hurting, go write a book. He doesn't say, people are hurting, take a seminar. He doesn't say, people are hurting, go out and try and meet needs and give counseling. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but I think Jesus' instructions here are important. And if you missed it, we could just close the book and be done and kind of miss the thrust of what Jesus is saying to us today. Verse 38 says, so, what does Jesus say? What's that word? Pray to the Lord who was in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into the field. Here's my thought. Caring about people, caring comes from praying. Did you get that? You can write that down. That might be a good thought. Caring comes from praying. See, Jesus knew they didn't really care. So Jesus said, pray. He didn't at this point say, go do. That will come later. He said, pray. He said, pray. Because praying is important. You see, on our own, here's the problem. On our own, when we look at people, I can only see you with my eyes. And if you're hurting, how easy is it to hide that you're hurting? Anybody here that you would admit that there's a time when you've been hurting, maybe today, maybe not, but before, you were hurting and you just put on a fake smile and you could go through life and nobody would know? Anybody? We've all done that, right? Jesus doesn't say just go out and take care of needs, because in my own self, if I go and look and I see somebody who's hurting, I can't tell they're hurting. If I hear them speak, the words that I hear with my ears, it's not real good. How you doing? Okay, how are you? Good. That's our conversation today, isn't it? Our friendship level is very surface, isn't it? We don't get real deep. How you doing? When you say how you doing, you don't really want an answer, right? Yo, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. That's it. You don't want, how you doing? Not good. I just got laid off from my job and my wife thinks I'm out too late. And you're like, dude, I wasn't asking. I'm just saying how you doing. I didn't really want an answer, right? That's true. And the people who do that, next time you don't say, how you doing? You just like, next time I'm just going to say hi. On our own, when we listen, we can miss stuff. When we look, we can miss stuff. When we speak, we can say the wrong thing. Anybody? If you've done that, you put your foot right in your mouth. And with your heart, you don't love people like Jesus loves them. You love them until they hurt you or until they bother you or until you just get bored. That's why Jesus said, you know what, guys? People are hurting. What do you need to do? You need to pray. You need to pray, but I thought they were hurting. No. What you need to do is you need to pray. Why? Because it's through prayer, it's through praying for other people who are hurting. Pray first. Listen, we do later, but we pray first because it's when we pray that God begins to change us. He changes them, but He changes us. What if you don't care about someone? If you're just honest, not that you hate them, but you're just like, yeah, guy needs Jesus. Kind of a jerk, though. And you just kind of don't really care about your friend. Or not, maybe not a friend, maybe it's just some guy you work with. And you're like, yeah, you don't really have your heart isn't broken for his hurt. If we're just honest, that happens in life. Don't pretend everything grabs you, it doesn't. What Jesus says you need to do is begin to pray for your buddy who's hurting. Begin to pray. You see this guy? And he's hurting. Well, let's just pick a name. I'm just going to use the name Dave because I don't know if there's anybody named Dave that I know here. So I'm just going to use the name Dave. Is that okay? Don't be like, well, that's my middle name. Are you talking about me? I'm not talking about you. Let's just pick Dave. Use you, okay? Let's just pick Dave. And we'll be like this. You know what? Jesus, I pray for Dave and begin to pray for him. God, he needs you. And as you begin to start praying for this person that needs Jesus, okay? God will begin birthing in your heart change. And what will happen is, as you're praying for Him, God will give you new eyes so that you can begin to see things differently. Then maybe you'll be back to work with the guy and all of a sudden you'll just see things a little bit differently. God will give you new ears. Not like new ears, but a new way of hearing, that when He says something, you'll begin to... When you're praying, when you're in prayer for Him, and God brings you in with Him, you'll begin to hear things differently. And He'll say something, and maybe you'll be able to hear beyond the words. And know, you know what? There's real hurt there. God will give you the words to share from your mouth. And God will give you wisdom. And it's not just all about you. See, that's the good thing with God. He wants you to begin to pray for other people, but He'll give you new eyes and new ears and kind of like a new, not really a new mouth, but you know what I'm saying. He will give you the words to share that bring comfort to someone. And you know what else? God will give you a new heart. God will give you a new heart. That you'll begin to love other people, even if they push you away a little bit. Because all of a sudden you'll remember, perhaps, that you were like that too. And you need Jesus. You see, He cares. So we must care. And if you don't care, you need to pray. Because caring comes from praying. Jesus will begin to birth new things within you. And He will change you. And you know what? To be honest with you, if you do that, listen, if you take the challenge of praying and seeking Jesus, I promise you, He will change you and you will never be the same again. And you'll be glad. Begin to pray for people who are hurting. Well, what do your prayers need to sound like? Listen, you don't have to have long religious prayers. Just talk to God. Just say, God, Jesus, my buddy's messed up. And he even gets on my nerves sometimes, but I think it's because he's just messed up and he needs you. And I don't know what's wrong in his life. I don't know if things are bad with his wife or whatever, but I ask you to help him, Lord. Right? You just begin to talk to Jesus. There's nothing ritualistic about it. It's just like sitting on the bench or sitting on the step and talking to Jesus. He cares, so we care. We must care. Pray, and God will give you some thoughts. And Jesus said, you know, as we said, pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, verse 38. Ask Him to send more workers. We need more people to share Jesus in our world, right? A lot of Christians are frauds. They're frauds. They're Christian in name. They kind of like to say they're a Christian. If people came on the street, are you a Christian? Sure, I'm a Christian. But they really don't care about Jesus. They really don't pray. They really don't give. They really don't serve. They don't really care. What I'm saying is, we need an army of people who will really live for Jesus and really care. And Jesus says, as you look out over the hill, listen, the harvest is great, but there's not too many people helping. There's a lot of people acting like it, but they don't really care. They're too busy within themselves. Right? They're too busy within themselves. They care more about them and their hobbies and their work and their family, and they don't really care anything about other people. And Jesus is telling His guys, don't be like that. Since I care, you must care. Begin to pray. God will change you. And I love this last part. We're going to read one more verse. Who is Jesus talking to here? His disciples, right? His 12 guys. Let's read one more verse. We're just going to touch on verse 10 and then we're going to pray. What happens next in the story? Matthew 10, verse 1. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Look at, just skip down to verse 7. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Listen. Jesus told them to pray. And then guess what? Once they're praying, once God is changing them, then Jesus gave them something to do. Do you see that? Then Jesus sent them out to do something. His disciples, he called them to go and preach and pray and heal just like he was doing. The doing does not precede prayer. Prayer comes first. And then Jesus sent them to do something. To go, can I say this? To go on an adventure? Listen, serving Jesus is an adventure. It's a good thing. It's fun. It's scary. But what adventure would be any good if it wasn't scary? You ever watch Indiana Jones? A little scary. If Indy wasn't going to die from the big ball coming after him at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, if it wasn't like really dangerous, it would be a boring movie. What if he just walked in, it's a big old empty warehouse, and he just picks up the crystal skull and walks out? You'd be like, this movie stinks. The danger is what makes it exciting. Listen, in Christianity, God calls us on an adventure. And is it scary? Yeah, but it's exciting. It's exciting. God calls you to serve Him. For His disciples, that meant going out doing the things that Jesus called Him to do. Listen, for you, I don't know what it is, but God wants you to do something for Him. He wants you to do something for Him. But this is what I know. Praying precedes doing. You're not going to have a heart for others unless you pray. We must have a heart for others. We must care. Because He truly does care. So therefore, we do those things. God is good, isn't He? So I don't know what God is calling you to do, but it's a good thing. Let's wrap this up and pull this together. My question for you today. Do you know that Jesus cares for you? For some of you today, point one was the big one. For some of you today, the thought of knowing that Jesus cares is kind of revolutionary. Because maybe you thought of Him as the religious guy on the cross. And He was more of a necklace than He was real in your life. I want you to know that Jesus cares and that He loves you. He really does. He loves you enough that He died for you. And there is no secret that you have to hide from Jesus. There are things, no doubt, that you won't tell to anybody. You don't have to hide them from Jesus. Jesus already knows and He cares. As He looked amongst the people, He saw they were hurting and confused and helpless, and His heart was to help them. If you're here today and you're hurting and you're confused and you feel like nobody understands, I want you to know Jesus does. And I want you to know He cares. And I don't mean that in a religious sense. I mean that in a real, real sense. That you can talk to Him. And He will help you. What if there's sin between you and God? There was always sin between all of us until we come to Jesus and have Him forgive. If you're new to our church or our kind of church, maybe your background's a little different. If you notice, there are some things that are different from our church than other churches. One of those things is we don't believe that you have to come to me to tell me your sin. You don't have to do that. Now listen, I will listen to you if you want to come to me and just talk. But you don't have to come to me to be forgiven. Because Jesus is the one who forgives sin. And you can talk to Jesus today. And Jesus will forgive you. We don't have a special place in our church marked off for us to talk and for me to tell you what to do to be forgiven. You need to talk to Jesus. You need to talk to Jesus. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, says this: if we confess our sins, if we just share them with God and we own up to them, He is faithful and just. He forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good to know? That whatever shame and guilt you've had in your heart, you can just talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I messed up. You've seen my sin. I'm sorry for that sin. And I don't want to do it anymore. Please forgive me and help me to follow you. And if you do that, awesome. Jesus forgives you. And He begins to work in your life because He cares so much. And you don't have to wait to confess your sins at the end of the week. If you go home and mess up this afternoon, just call to God on your couch. Jesus, I'm sorry. I blew it again. I just left church and I'm cussing at old ladies in a parking lot. I'm sorry, right? If that's you? Hopefully you won't. But if it's you, or almost ran somebody down because they got on my nerves, talk to Jesus. Listen, Jesus will forgive you. Amen? Isn't that good to know? Now, for some of you today, the application that really hits home is the second one. For some of you, it's the second one. Because you may have heard this passage before, but you kind of don't care. Or you kind of haven't cared enough. And I want you to know today, pray. Ask Jesus to help you and He will help you. Amen? For some of you today, you need to just say, I'm going to trust Jesus and I'm going to talk to Him and He's going to work in my life and do that. For some of you need to say, you know what? Maybe I've been a little too religious. Maybe it's been more about going to church than about the people. Is going to church important? Yes. But the church is what? The people. Don't forget the people. Begin to pray. And Jesus will help you and give you new eyes and a new heart and new ears and a new mouth to speak His Word. And He'll give you concern for those that don't know Him. There's a last thing that I want to do. We're going to go ahead and pray. And if you don't know Jesus, if you need Him to forgive you today, I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now before we move on for service. My words aren't that important. There's no magic in my words. There is no formula. But what it is I'm trying. I want to give you a vehicle to talk to God. And you can repeat after me just as a way to talk to God to help you through the process. There's no magic in the words. It's all your heart with Jesus. But today Jesus wants to forgive you and He wants to help you. And if you've never found Him as your Savior, if today you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Today I want to get right with God. I didn't realize that He really loves me, or I know I've been running from Him, and today I want Him to help me and I want to confess my sins to Him and get them gone. Listen, He died and rose again so you can be forgiven. If today you want to take Jesus up on that deal, we're going to pray. So let's just bow our heads and I'm going to lead you in prayer with that, and then we're going to be moving on quickly. If that's you today, you can pray this along with me. Jesus, I love You. I thank You that You care so much about me. It's kind of hard to believe. But thank You. I know that You died on the cross and You rose again to bring forgiveness. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I confess that to you. I'm transparent with you. I've messed up. Forgive me. And I pray that I'll never do that stuff again. I just want to live for you. Help me to do that. I pray that you would also heal my hurts. Give me clarity of mind. And help me to start life all over again. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Bob, can you hand me one of those Rock Solid Believer brochures, please? If that's you today, we have brochures that, little booklets that help explain what it means to live for Jesus. We just ordered more of these. They're free to take. They're in English and in Spanish in the back if you'd rather have the Spanish one. You can grab that as well, but it's a good way to help you learn what this means to be a Christian. It's a 7-day thing, and I want to give it... It's actually 6 days. And I want to be able to give it to you so you help understand what this whole Christian thing is about. They're right in the back. Grab one of those. If you need a good Bible that's easy to read, we have some available for you to take for free. They're right over top of the cream cheese, I think, in the back. Hey, Pastor Bob, there's a few more in that cabinet in the back, too. Can you add some more of them, too? A few more Bibles? And they're there available for you to take a Bible in an easy-to-read translation. You can begin in the book of Matthew, where we are now, and you'll be ready for next week in church as well. One last thing I want to do is this. Thank you for filling out your communication card, as we said. If you can pull it out of your Bible, or not Bible, out of this, out of your bulletin, on the back at the bottom, there's a place for prayer requests. And what I'm going to ask you to do is write a name of somebody you're praying for this week. See, we talked about praying today and praying for those who are hurting. And what I'm going to ask you to do is for this week, the next 7 days starting today, just pray for that person. Just pray for them. And just say, you know, God bless them and help them. We all know people who are hurting, friends, relatives, co-workers. I'm going to ask you just to give us their first name. And I want to pray along this week with you for the people you're praying for. Okay? I don't know them, but just give me their first name. God knows them. And I'll pray with you this week. Listen, even if it's somebody who, you know, maybe your heart isn't bent too much for them. You know they need help. That's okay. I think caring comes from praying. And say, this week I'm going to pray for Bob, or this week I'm going to pray for Sue, or this week I'm going to pray for this guy or that lady, or my dad or my son or my mom or my daughter or grandparent or what or grandchild, whatever that is. And just write at least one name. You can write more, but at least one name. And I want to pray with you this week for that person, right? Because he cares, we want to care. And we want to pray that God will reach out and heal hurting people and save people that don't know Him. Amen. So go ahead and write down a name. And I'm going to write down a name too.
Can we write more than one?
You can write more than one. And we want to go ahead and pray for these names. Then we're going to collect them. Then we're going to just have the offering. So we're almost done. If you'll go ahead and do that. Does anybody need a pen, or maybe you didn't get a bulletin? We got a few more we can hand. Anybody today that needs that? All right. And I'm going to ask you, if you're done, we're going to collect them in just a minute. One more thing. If you today you prayed for Jesus to forgive you for the first time, if you can check that on the box at the top, I want to just pray for you this week too. Or maybe if it's a recommitment, today Jesus got a hold of you and today was a day that you know what, I'm starting new. Just check that to say, Pastor, pray for me this week. I want to pray for you. Check that box. Write those names and we're going to pray. Praise you, Lord. And I'm going to walk down the center aisle. We're going to collect these. Are we ready? Let's hold them in your hand. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray for these people, Lord. There's no magic in the paper. There's no magic in the ink. But we know, God, that you care. And I pray for this person on my sheet today. And I pray that you would draw them to you, that today they would find your healing. And Lord, that you would help their hurting, God. That you would heal them physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And that they would surrender their life and come to you. And we pray that for the people today that we're thinking of. And God, we do that because we care and we want to care even more. And we know that you care ultimately. And we want to do what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.